Imitating technology puts the it in tits today. Oh, that's right. We've got a proper introduction style that I'll use most of the time. Maybe. Hey guys, what's up? To start things off for today, you should be really thankful that I stopped recording the introduction when I did, because I shit you not, right after I hit the stop button to add in the theme music, because I edit this as I go, Loki threw up behind me. And then Takoyaki swooped right in to immediately begin eating it. Which is not pleasant to have heard myself, so you're welcome for not having to hear it yourself. Anyway, the show has a name now, which you already knew because you've probably heard the first episode already, but as of recording the first episode, I did not know. I pretty much made it, recorded it, figured I'm doing this now, and then came up with a name whenever I actually figured out how to upload it to all of the places. But it has a name. It is This Is The Shit. Tits for short. Partly because I like swearing. I like tits. I wish I had some tits. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I have technically I have tits. It's just that they're tiny and... yeah, I like tits. I'm bisexual, so everybody knows I like tits. It's pretty standard. What's been up in your world? I am behind schedule. Not that I set a schedule, but I read and heard that the best podcast format to start off with for getting listeners and stuff is to essentially... record 3 episodes that you release in the first week, and then from there get into a schedule. And I did not record that many episodes before I went live, and I also do not have a schedule. I was hoping to get things done so that I would have the first episode out that Sunday and then the next episode out the next Sunday, but I had a headache on the day I wanted to record, and then I could have recorded on Sunday, but instead I had this whole master plan, which is where the name of this particular episode comes from, or at least the introduction. So Christmas is coming up, and I don't like being boring with my gifts. Even if it's a simple, boring gift, I like to do something fun about how I present the gift. And this sometimes ends up being kind of mean. So I got a gift for my boyfriend. It is not a PS5. He wants a PS5, but I can't find or afford a PS5 right now. And also, it's not a super huge priority for him to have one. He mentioned in passing that he might eventually get one, but it's whatever. But here's where the fun comes in. So my best friend, one of my best friends, I have more than one, but one of them, we'll call her Alley Cat, because that's what I call her. And she gave me permission to use her name to any extent in the podcast. I won't really go full details on her because there's creepy weird stalkers out there, but I call her Alley Cat. Her name is Alex. She's really pretty. In high school, everybody wanted her. It was great. For her. sometimes. We've got some fun stories that I'll probably tell you later that we like to look back and laugh on now. But anyway, her brother bought a PS5 and still had the box. And so I used her for this whole plan overall. And she ordered the gifts on her Amazon. I paid her back. Kind of. I still need to figure out if I actually paid her back all that it was, but either way. Anyway, it was on her Amazon account because I share my Amazon account with my boyfriend, and he would see the gifts, and he's nosy as hell. And I think I mentioned this in the first episode, but I don't really remember what all I talked about other than the cats. But I ordered it through her Amazon. It arrived. She had to bring it to my house on a day that he was at work because otherwise he would see it. So the fun part comes in that because her brother still had the box for his PS5, she went over to his place and was like, "Hey, what do you say about giving or lending the box to Roz so that she can basically be really mean?" So I put the gifts for my boyfriend into the box for the PS5, and then I wrapped that up. And I, like, taped it all up mostly pretty nice. Like, there's still a little bit of, like, obvious signs that it's not a PS5, for one. The gifts are not heavy, and a PS5 isn't, like, super heavy, but when you lift it, you'll kind of know that it's not. But also, there's a bunch of dog hair where the, like, circle tape seal thing was, but I still put tape over that. So it's all taped up nice and good, but he's smart enough to know pretty soon that it's not a PS5. But we'll see. That's all wrapped up now and in my craft room, like proper present wrapping. And I think it will be fun. And I will tell you how he reacts to getting a PS5, but not actually getting a PS5. And that's my dastardly Christmas plan. He has seen the box, by the way. He knows that he has a present. He knows that the box is for him because I wrote his name on it, but also because he walked into my craft room while I was on my computer, and he was like, "Oh, hey, what's in the box?" And I'm like, "I'm not telling you." And he's like, "Is it for me?" And I'm like, "I'm not telling you." And he's like, "It's for me." Okay. Because I'm really bad at just straight up answering anything about gifts without completely giving it away. So my default response is just, "I'm not telling you, okay? Don't make me, because I will. But I shouldn't, so I won't." It's kind of very much a Hagrid, "I shouldn't have said that" moment every single time. But I think it'll be fun. And I don't have to hold on to the surprise for much longer. It's just a little bit over a week. So, yeah. And then I ordered a bunch of other gifts, and I'm still waiting on those to arrive, and I hope they actually all arrive in time. The main one that I have to wait on is the gift for my Secret Santa, which we're doing in 4 days, and as of last checking, the shipping on that still says pre-transit from California, and I'm in Texas, and I don't know if it'll arrive in time, but fingers crossed, because it'll be really funny if the whole thing's put together, but it won't be as funny if it's missing half of it, and then I have to be like, "Yeah, well, this is on the way, but I don't have it yet." Yeah. So that's that on the Christmas gift section. But, yeah, hopefully everything turns out well with Christmas. I haven't bought the cats any Christmas presents yet. And I'm not sure how many presents I should get them. But I think they can sense that I don't have anything wrapped for them yet. But last year I got them each a blanket. And we actually had them unwrap it themselves. It was really fun and a lot more difficult than we expected at the same time, because I wrapped it up with, like, a bunch of gaps in the, like, taping of it so that they could easily like get a paw in or get their face in and open it. But they didn't seem to understand the concept of the game, even whenever we ripped it a little bit and flapped the paper around at them. So we had to shove a bunch of cat treats into the gaps so that they had incentive to like rip into the thing. But Loki already knows he's not supposed to destroy things. So he would only actually get in and make the mess of getting to the treats and ripping the paper and not caring if we were not looking at him, because he thought he was in trouble if we were watching him while he destroyed the wrapping paper on his own present. But as soon as we went into another room and shut the door, we could hear the paper ripping from both cats all over. Like, they had a blast. So I need to figure out little gifts for them again this year. But I've got like 10 days to get that done, because I'm recording this on the 14th, and so I've got until the 24th, and then having them open it on the 25th. So that's cool. That's all good. Mostly handled. I still need to figure out more things, because I am the type of person that gets the idea in my head of what I'm going to give someone, and then it's something that I have to make, and then I don't leave myself enough time to actually make the thing. So I have limited the number of gifts that I'm actually planning on making, but I also haven't started yet. Because for my grandmother, I need to go and buy this like flower pot that then I can paint on, because when I went to an estate sale a while back, I saw a day planner for like a year that had already passed that had on the cover of it this really pretty design that said, "Grandmothers are the flowers in the garden of life." And I really liked that and thought it was adorable, but there was no point getting this day planner for a year that was already over for my grandmother, because she couldn't use it to begin with, and she's also not really a planner person for the most part. So instead, I'm going to come up with a design that says the same thing on a flower pot for her, because she likes gardening. But I have not started that, and I will be seeing her on the 26th. So I have 12 days, really 11 days, to get it done, so that on the 12th day, I can actually present it. And hopefully it will be dry and everything and good. But getting there. In other news, yesterday I made dinner. Which sounds more impressive if I just leave it at I made dinner than if I say I reheated, well, not really reheated because it wasn't ever heated to begin with, but I heated up some frozen chicken cordon bleu and I made pastaroni, which altogether tastes really good, but doesn't sound as impressive as saying I cooked. I can cook. I like cooking sometimes, but I was tired after work. And so this was my dinner plan. And I made it, and it tasted great. And it was really easy. But as the last steps of dinner were being finished, like cooking, I was letting some sauce thicken for in the pasta. I was letting the chicken cordon bleu calm, like cool down enough to be like edible temperature and not like spray cheese at you. Because if you don't know what chicken cordon bleu is, it is a chicken breast that is breaded, and inside of it is ham and cheese, like a mix of cheeses. Usually I think it's mostly Swiss, but I'm not really sure. I don't actually like ham, but I like chicken cordon bleu, which confuses my boyfriend to no end, because he doesn't understand the concept of not liking a thing, but sometimes liking it if it's mixed with something else. So we have these weird debates about orange juice all the time, because orange juice does not agree with me at all. And I don't like oranges for the most part. But in some things, they're good. Which makes sense to me, but apparently not to him. But anyway, food was being finished. It was cooling down to an edible amount, and like sauces were thickening and all of that. So I was unloading the dishwasher, and I laid out a green plate and a red plate that are like identical plates but different colors, because whenever I went to college, I just got some plates from the dollar store because, first off, they were a dollar. I was, you know, going into college. I didn't necessarily anticipate these plates lasting forever, and it's fine that they did. I actually really like them. But I got four plates that are all the same size, roughly the same shape. They're just four different colors. So there's a red one, a green one that's like a lighter green. It's not like a forest green or anything, but it's not pastel. It's still pretty bright, just on the more yellow side than the blue side. And then there's a light blue and a dark blue. But I unloaded the dishwasher. I put these plates on the counter. It was great. The green one was for me. The red one was for him, because those are each in our own individual, like, favorite color sets. So we sit down, we eat dinner, everything is great. The red plate is gone. I don't know where it is. Like, he got up to go and, like, he rinsed out the pot that I used and, like, started helping with some of the cleanup. And then he went back to some of his other projects. And I don't know where the red plate went. I found the pot I used. I know where the pan that I used for the chicken cordon bleu is. I know where my plate is because I just left it on the counter next to the sink. I should finish dishes after this entirely, but that's another story for another time. I don't feel like being an adult today. I already had to work. But the red plate is gone. I thought because I heard the water running, maybe he washed just that plate, left the other dishes there, and, like, put it in a drying rack somewhere. But the drying rack does, it, like, it's full of other things. And the red plate is not there. There isn't any space for where he could have put it. It's not in the dishwasher. It's not in any of the rooms that he walked into, at least that I could find. Like, I even went into the garage where he was working on some stuff and grabbing tools so he could hang some curtains in the media room. And the red plate's just gone. And I feel like it definitely existed, and I remember seeing this, but I'm starting to question myself as far as if we ever had a red plate and where it is now, if we did, or if, like, a ghost took it or something, because I, shit you not, I have looked everywhere, and the red plate is gone, and this is gonna keep me up tonight. Which makes me feel even crazier, and I kind of feel like the red plate is gaslighting me. And I don't know how to feel about that, but I'll guess I'll update you if I ever find where the red plate went or is. And I guess I'll update you if I don't find it either. But I don't know. I'm at a loss. It's just gone. Possibly forever. Maybe it's somewhere really obvious and I'm just blind. But I checked every cabinet in case it got washed, dried, put away. I checked the dishwasher twice. I checked the sink. I checked next to the sink. I checked the sink full of clean clothes. Or clothes. Dishes. I should probably do laundry too. I don't think I have clothes for work tomorrow, but that's another level of adulting to finish. Later. But yeah, I checked the bathroom. I checked the garage. I checked the laundry room. I checked everywhere in the kitchen. It's baffling. I don't know if this is going to be like the start of me finally cracking, but it's gone. It's just gone. All right. You didn't hear it probably, but I took a moment to compose myself, and we're moving on to a different topic because I can't dwell on that any longer today. But I've started playing more video games again. I will probably start streaming again, but on Saturday, my boyfriend, his best friend, and I all played Bloons Tower Defense 6 in co-op mode, and I discovered that I had not unlocked as many things on my game as I thought I had, because I have it on Steam and on my phone, And apparently I've only been playing on my phone, and so my wizard monkeys are woefully lacking. But also on Saturday, I got to use my sewing machine again. It's a Bernina that was passed down to me from my grandmother, and I have been kind of afraid to use it since I inherited it, because my whole life I was always told, like, this is like a fancy machine, it's computerized, it can do all of these things, like, it's really expensive and high-end, and you're lucky that you're going to be getting it, which I feel really lucky and appreciative that I do have it, but it kind of put an unhealthy fear into me of, like, even using it instead of, like, appreciating it properly, because I might break it. And this machine is older than I am, based on the stickers. It's got, like, a 1996 sticker on it, and I was born in 97. So, I did use it on Saturday, and I really enjoy using it, but it's got a little trackball on it for basically scrolling across the screen to select various different things. And no matter how I spin that ball around, it only registers up and down movement. So I did some research, and I found a sewing supply store and machine store that's, like, Bernina certified, that's actually really close to my house. And so tomorrow, probably, because I get paid tomorrow, I will be taking that over to that shop, and they're gonna do, like, a full service on it and, like, basically fix it to whatever it needs, do a full, like, cleanup inside. If it has a software update, they'll update it with whatever it can do, needs to do, any of that. And then hopefully it'll be all in, like, really good working order. It will take a while. They're kind of backlogged because all the people that are, like, using their machines so much for the Christmas time frame have been getting it in there and taking up all of their space and time. But they've got, like, 3 techs. And so I'm going to get that in good working order, and then I'm going to be able to do more of my projects again. And I'm really excited for that. And I was looking through, when I was trying to set it up to be able to use it, I needed to fix a lab coat because the pockets were messed up, and it was, like, a really easy fix to just sew across 2 lines, like, 1 line for each pocket. But I could not figure out some of the things, and so I was looking through the books and the manuals, and I found notes in them, like, corrections or little tips, and they're in my grandmother's handwriting. And it just made me really happy in a bittersweet way to just find the different things that she left. And some of it was tips to herself, and some of it was more of tips to the next person who would be using it. But either way, there's sort of just a, like, rough beginner's guide, but with insights from the woman who taught me how to sew in the first place. And she's been gone for almost 6 years. And almost a year ago, actually, on the day after 5 years to the day that she died, I got a tattoo in her honor. And that's on my wrist, on my right wrist, because I'm right-handed. And so almost all of my craft projects are pretty much centered around my right hand. There's a lot of things that I do that she taught me that do require both hands, but it's just the dominant side. And her favorite animal was the elephant. So I have this little elephant holding a paintbrush with a bunch of colorful splatters all behind it on my right wrist, so that now she gets to help me with any craft project that I do. And as a happy accident, based on the placement, when I move my hand around, the paintbrush kind of flicks. So it's kind of even more animated at that. And I just miss her. I went by I guess it was less than a month ago that I went to visit her at the graveyard. Because that was her birthday. Right around Thanksgiving time. She was actually born on Thanksgiving, and it was a premature situation. And she was so premature that when they took her home, they put her in a shoebox in the oven as a makeshift incubator. They had the door open. Like, they weren't trying to actually bake the baby. But she spent her first days in an oven in a shoebox because she was so little. And from then on, they just called her the turkey. That was her nickname. And then my grandfather was born on Mother's Day. And so they called him the mama's boy. So on one side of my family, we had the turkey and the mama's boy. And I fully believe that I am as creative as I am because of her. And it helps that I have her name. I think I was just kind of meant to be her, I guess, legacy in a way. And technically my first name was her middle name. So it's not actually like full proper name, but my family does have a problem with giving the exact same name to every child. Not like every child in the same little family unit, but definitely just a passing down of the same name and not changing anything. Not adding a first, second, third, whatever. Not adding junior, just the same name. Like, my grandmother and her mother had the same first name. My grandfather on that same side, his mother had the same name as both my grandmother and my great-grandmother on that side. Then my grandfather had the same name as his father and as his first son. And it's just, it's a lot. Like, I will be breaking that even though I like my name now. I remember growing up and not liking my first name because nobody could pronounce it. Because technically my first name is a Spanish name that has an English pronunciation. So my name is Rosalyn, but it's also valid to call me Rosalyn. I think it's a pretty name now, but based on the spelling and based on just everything about me, people thought my name was Rosaline or something like that, and I just grew up always having to correct people and always getting so angry about it, and especially from people that knew me well. Like, I was in the principal's office every day of kindergarten, every single day. I was a menace, and I don't regret a single bit of it. I didn't grow up to continue to be a menace, but I definitely have that in my past, and it was an interesting time. But I remember distinctly getting an award for, like, perfect attendance given to me by the principal, who mispronounced my first, middle, and last name. And she saw me every single day. I got so mad. Like, my middle name is very common. Everybody can pronounce it. My last name, I get that. It's not easy to pronounce. I will not be telling you my last name right now. You can probably find it if you do a deep dive. Little bit creepy, but I won't judge you if you're curious. But if you find my Facebook, please know I don't accept friend requests from anybody. I don't, like, I'm not at least 85% sure that I actually know. Yeah. I do have a Facebook page, though, that you can find and you can follow and, like, encourage me to actually be active on, because I am not. But, yeah. In any case, she said Rosaline. In every instance, that was always my name, and I hated it. And I remember so bad wanting to be named Amy. And I really don't think that fits me. Like, no offense to any Amy out there ever. It's not me. I don't know where I came up with it. I don't know why I wanted that name. I have actually thought long and hard about if I had a different name, than the one I have right now, what it would be. And it's pretty much the ones that I've already told you that you can call me. Other than all of these random ass flower puns, whether they're really cool or not, I would probably go by Tara, which is shamelessly just taking the name of the main character from my favorite standalone book. And I use standalone as an important phrase in this, because I can't pick a favorite book. Like, not usually. I need to break down my favorites of anything into genres or, like, more specific categories so that it's not as daunting. But my favorite standalone book that's not part of a series is named North of Beautiful, and it's by Justina Chen Headley. And I hope that I pronounced that name right, because I have only ever typed it. I have not ever actually said it out loud. But I'm gonna double check that real quick. Okay, so I looked it up. And according to Google, it's just Justina Chen now. I do know that my books all say Justina Chen Headley on them, so it appears that she changed her name at some point for whatever reason. You can look up Justina Chen or Justina Chen Headley and still find the same books and the same person, but it looks like all of the books being published now just say Justina Chen. But North of Beautiful is my favorite standalone book. And she wrote other books too, like Girl Overboard and Nothing But the Truth and A Few White Lies. And I really enjoy both of those too. And I actually found my favorite coffee drink because I decided to try the one from in North of Beautiful, which is actually a really common drink overall. And I know that technically the way that I get it is not proper for what the name means, but I still really like it, and no regrets. So, I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, it's a good book overall. If you read just the one book and you like it, you should read her other books, because there's scenes in them that actually kind of tie into other characters from the other books, at least from what I have read. But it's not so tied in that you have to read it, or that it's actually a proper, like, side story of the character, so I still consider it a standalone book. It's just a nice little Easter egg to find. And yeah. Then my favorite series book is just anything by Cassandra Clare. So that's that. I like the Shadowhunters. Then some of the next tattoos I'm going to get is from that realm. I may have brought this up in the last episode. I feel like I did. I don't really ever shut up about those books, unless I'm not talking about books, which is a fair amount of the time, but if books come up, it's always those. I like them. I just like books in general. Mostly young adult stuff. I don't really like much else. I like a lot of the fantasy stuff, and anything that's just a good escape from the world. And I always liked that. Like, I always wanted any sort of book that could really take me anywhere else. Not that I had, like, the worst childhood ever and I needed to escape, but things are rough being a kid. And, like, hell, even just puberty. Other kids suck. They're mean. Like, there's nothing else to be said about it. I know damn well I was a mean kid sometimes, too. There's actually moments that still haunt me to this day that happened back in, like, third grade, of when I said things that I didn't realize then were, like, as mean and awful as they were, but they were not kind things to say. And I still regret those, and if I ever talk to the people that were involved again, I will probably apologize, and they will probably have put it out of their mind already and be like, what the fuck are you on about? But in any case, it still makes me feel bad. So I think about it too much. But I would escape in any way I could through any books. And so, like, whenever I was a little kid, it was things like The Magic Tree House and The Secrets of Droon and anything like that, that, especially if it was a really long series, because I really loved those, and I could just finish one book and move right into the next. And I was always a fast reader, which came as like a blessing and a curse. And so I would get to move into the next book, but I would also have to wait for the next one after that to come out. And oh my god, it was so annoying sometimes. Reading to the cliffhanger that, like, makes you want to buy the next book or makes you want to, like, go out and, like, contact the author and write letters and be like, oh my god, what happens next? Like, I have to know. And they're just gonna be like, I'm literally writing it myself, but it'll come out in a year. You have to wait a year. And I understand that. I understand that it takes a really long time to write a book, but I also think cliffhangers are really mean. And I'm looking at you, Rick Riordan, who I met once. Like, I know you don't remember me at all, I can guarantee it, but I remember, I think it was third grade, it might have been fourth grade, the series was starting, like, the original Percy Jackson stuff was starting, there were only, like, two or three books out, and Rick Riordan was making tours to different schools all around, and he happened to stop at my school, and we had a whole assembly, and he was like, hey, do you like Greek mythology? And do you like kids with like cool powers and like anything brought all of this and like just all of the things and just the pitch to try and get us to want to read his book, which I thought was really cool from the beginning because I always liked Greek mythology and just any mythology. I just know the most about the Greek mythology. But yeah, that was actually a really fun time, and I'm really glad that I got to meet him before everything, like, actually blew up. And I know that sounds really hipster of me, and I don't mean it to. I like seeing where people start and then being able to see where they end up. And I met Cassandra Clare once for a book signing, but it was, like, well after everything else, and so there really wasn't, like, the opportunity for a lot of, like, personal interaction because there were so many people there, which I get. And I'm not faulting anyone, and I'm not trying to say, like, that she's distant and, like, oh, I'm too famous for you. It's just purely a, like, logistical thing of getting to see everybody and having the little moment with everyone, and I really enjoyed that time, too. I just didn't get to connect as much, which is fine because I still had, like, the time of my life, but I got... My first signed books were from Rick Riordan. And I distinctly remember lending out at least one of them to another one of my friends or classmates. We never really got close, but like nothing against her or any of that. But I remember getting the book back and she had written like a little thank you for lending this to me in the front corner, her front like inside cover page thing. And I remember getting so upset. Like, I never told her that it upset me, but I remember getting so upset that my book had been written in by anyone other than the author. And now I'm, like, I don't really care. It's not like anything's actually damaged. It's not like anything happened. Like, the book is still the book. The book, it's all great, it's all good, it's just, I still don't like, I guess, messing up books in any way at all. I don't even like writing my name in books, like, was always super common for me to see of like, hey, this belongs to this person, or just the name at all, except sometimes in the case of it being a gift, and then it's like sentimental and stuff, but that's one of my stories of growing up. But yeah, any book that can just take me out of reality in a happy enough way. It doesn't have to be a happy book. It can be a pretty fucked up book. I just finished reading a series of books that I really like and I love the whole concept of the world of, but it's not at all a happy book. It is full of murder. It is full of, like, general problematic mindsets. There's a lot of, I don't want to diagnose anyone, but, like, there's, connection with emotions is not there, and valuing human life is not entirely there, and it's interesting to see how detached the characters are from essentially their victims. Like, the main character enjoys dissecting people, and, like, then one of the next main characters literally has to eat pain, and the best pain is from torturing people. And it's the psychology behind the whole thing is really cool, and just reading and enjoying the world of it all is really cool. And it probably helps that my brain is a little bit fucked up too, but for reference, that first book in that series is called Not Even Bones. And then there's two more after. They're decently quick reads. I don't remember all of the other details right now. I think the second book is called Only Ashes Remain, and the third book is called When Villains Rise. Or at least it's something to that effect. The cover of the cover of the first one is white and has a scalpel on it. So you'll know that you found the right book if you're interested in that at all. But there's, like, a black market, and there's, like, all of this stuff, and it's really interesting and fascinating, and there's, like, a whole new take on genetics in it, which just kind of drew me in even more. I like murder things. I like, well, just generally true crime. It's horrible that it happens, but it's fascinating to me. Which is not always the greatest, because I'm not good at small talk or just talking in general. I find it's actually a lot easier than I thought it would be to just talk into the void for recording the podcast. But overall, small talk is not all that easy for me. And introducing myself to people and knowing what to ask to, like, break the ice is not, it doesn't come naturally. So I find myself asking people things like, oh, hey, who's your favorite serial killer? And they look at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you for having a favorite serial killer? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Normal people don't. I will keep that in mind. For the record, my favorite serial killer is Israel Keyes. Yeah. Also, sorry, as I'm listening back to some of this, and, like, fixing some parts. Sorry if my voice sounds weird and off. Today I've got more sinus drainage than normal, and I need to figure out how to cut that down for recording so that I'm not, I guess, feeling like I'm talking through, like, thick liquid. It's not great on either end, and I'm sorry for that. I'll work on it. If I need to use my other microphone, I will. I just enjoy the freedom of moving around that comes with recording from the microphone on my headphones. Wow, it's already been, like, almost 45 minutes. I don't know how we got here once again, but hopefully you've enjoyed my rambling so far. I'm still only going to talk for another, like, 15 or so. I really like the idea of leaving these at about an hour long each. I don't really want to go above unless it's for something special. And if I do anything, like, less than that, it'll probably be for the sake of, like, it being, like, a mini episode, which could be, like, me reading things to you, like, your own emails to me and stuff, which, only one person has listened to the first episode by the time I am, like, recording the second one. So, obviously no one has emailed me yet because I know who the first person is, and that happens to be Alley Cat. Hi! But I instructed her not to give the link to anybody else that knows me. Which, I'm not sure if she actually followed that or not. I'm starting to get more comfortable with just giving the link to the people that know me. Because if I tell a story about them, I want their permission anyway. Which means they're going to want to hear it anyway. I could tell the story anyway and just change their name. But then that's a lot of name changes to keep track of. And I can do some of it. I've got nicknames for some of them. But I will lose track. And then y'all will ask a question, and it'll be a bunch of episodes later, and I'll have to come back and listen to it and be like, who the fuck was I talking about? Because I don't even know. And I don't want to do that. So, I feel like I've been talking really fast this episode too, so if you want to give me some feedback on if I should slow down, that would be great. But I drank a lot of coffee at work today. Because we're in busy season, like, all of the product that we sell has started to be on sale since Black Friday. And so we're actually starting to see the return of that, like, them coming in for the actual tests now. And it just, there's a lot to do. There's not a lot of sleep happening. Like, I'm going to bed at a reasonable time, okay? I'm doing everything right. The cats are not, and they keep waking me up. Like, I should have been able to sleep in on Sunday, but the sun came up, and Takoyaki came over, and he smacked me in the nose. And then when I woke up, he acted all cute, and he started licking my nose, which was admittedly adorable and made me less angry, but he wanted cuddles all night last night, which would be fine if I didn't roll over a lot in my sleep. And then he just got really mad anytime I moved. And so he'd just kick me. And I'm not good with being kicked. But I don't want to, like, lock them out of the bedroom, because then that's locking all three of the cats out. And they start crying, and it's really sad. So I just need them to calm down with me. But it's cool. Coffee helps a lot. Especially if I can't taste that much of the actual coffee itself. Because I don't like how bitter it gets, but I really like caramel. So I have a creamer that's actually not caramel. I just use this, like, Cinnabon creamer that's cinnamon rolls. And then I add, like, caramel to it. But I use a caramel coffee, and I just make that at work. But if I go to Starbucks, then I just get my regular caramel coffee that has everything caramel that they offer added to it, which is not healthy either. But I don't care because it tastes good. And I justify that I'm getting, like, no, there's really no justification. I try to justify that I'm getting real milk in that one because I need calcium. But I can't justify that even because there's just so much sugar. But did you know that most coffee creamers aren't actually made with milk or, like, cream properly? It's mostly water and then, like, other stuff added to it. So they're pretty much all, like, lactose-free and stuff. So I did not know that, so now I'm starting to add real milk to my coffee, too, whenever I make it at home. And, yeah. That's my caffeine update, I guess. I also have a craft update. I ordered some shelves that I get to put in to the craft room. And they should be here Saturday. So that's already taken care of, so I can start getting some of these freaking, like, doom boxes unpacked and things put on shelves and looking all pretty, and then it'll make it easier to actually find all of the shit that I want to be using. And then I might actually be inspired and stuff, because like I've got all these little bottles of paint that can go on one of the shelves. Hopefully, I might need to build like a little railing for that particular shelf, because I don't want the cats like knocking things over. Because it doesn't really matter how high I expect that shelf to be, they will find a way onto it. They climb a lot. We have a plan for the downstairs to kind of build this whole like jungle gym in one of the rooms. Like one of the big, like it's kind of a formal dining room, but it's like connected to the just front area too much, and we don't use a dining room anyway, so that's just the front room. And that will have a whole like setup for the cats just along the wall at some point for them to just climb and explore and just kind of get more of their like cat instincts needs met. But that's not finished yet. They've still got like a big like cat tower scratching post in there right now anyway, but they'll climb all of this. Well, you what, sir? Takoyaki just came in yelling at me like he wants attention. I don't have much time to finish this. Sure. Are hugs good? Do you like hugs? Alright, I'm gonna hold you for the wrap up of this, okay? And if you want to say anything, you can, but you don't have to. But yeah, we're closing in on about an hour, and I guess it's a good time to finish and stop up for the day. I will try to have another one out by, I guess, next Sunday. This coming Sunday would be my ideal. But we might make it like Tuesdays or something. I don't know. We'll come up with a proper schedule once I get like just more proper solid recording time figured out. But for now, if you want to find me anywhere, I am Rosie Doodles. Sir. All right, the kitten jumped away. But I think he still appreciates all the time that he spent helping with the podcast. But yeah, okay. On every social media platform, I am Rosie Doodles. That's RozziDoodles. So, Rosie Doodles. Simple. I have an Etsy that has the same name, I think. Yeah, you should just be able to look up Rosie Doodles on Etsy and find me. There's a Discord server. I don't know where the link for that is, but theoretically, if you go to my Instagram, there should be a link tree in the bio, and then if you want, you can join the Discord server, because I am 87% sure that I put the Discord server link in that link tree, and that I put that link tree on the Instagram. If not, I know the link tree is on my TikTok bio, so just find me on there. But yeah, I have a Discord server where we can talk and hang out. There are some people in it so far, just from other projects, and I'm super down for like combining all of my projects into that, because that's just my main Discord hub for like streaming and art and all of that put together, because you can't really have one part of all of the things I do without them all crossing over at some point. But it's not super active yet, so hopefully, people will want to join and be more active. But that's me. That's how to find me. If you want to email me, if you have ideas of what you want me to talk about, that can be as simple as asking me a question like, hey, can you find out what this is? Because I'm confused. The answer that I give you might also be that I'm confused if I try and look it up. So, disclaimer there. But can also just be, hey, can you tell me more about Loki or something? I will be updating you on the cats all the time. That's going to be one of the main topics, probably. But for anything you want me to talk about, like, no limits. I will talk about pretty much anything. I guess there are probably limits. Please don't be really creepy. But that is rozzydoodles@gmail.com. That's pretty much how to find me. That's it. That's done. Also, I might as well plug some of the other things. So if you want to find Alleycat on Instagram, I'm currently looking up her Instagram because I don't know it off the top of my head. It's weirdblonde29. Weird spelled like weird, blonde spelled with an E at the end, and then just the number 29. You're welcome, Alleycat. Maybe I shouldn't have done. I should have probably asked, but it's cool. You like followers. And then if you want to see more pictures of my cats and sometimes of projects that actually get finished, my boyfriend has an Instagram as well. He's got a bunch of other like social media under roughly the same name, but the Instagram is the easiest one to find and the one he updates the most. So that is Mango Cat Crafts on Instagram. And yeah, come follow us, come hang out, say hi. And I guess I will be seeing you. Well, I guess I will not be seeing you, but you will be hearing from me again in the next episode. Hopefully you like the name, because I came up with it on the fly. And hopefully you like the little bit of a format we have. So, have a good one. Bye.